Why are we here this morning celebrating Easter Sunday? There's sometimes a little confusion about that. A Sunday school teacher asked her five-year-olds, what's the meaning of Easter? And one little boy raised his hand and confidently said, we have Easter because Jesus rose from the grave. But before the teacher could commend the boy for his answer, he continued, but if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in and can't come back out for 6 weeks. It's not just children, however, who may be missing the significance of Easter. A very well-dressed couple came into the church sanctuary, which was packed, and they tried to find a seat. And so the woman leaned over and said to her husband, why can't these people who have nothing to do but come to church every Sunday stay home so the rest of us can have a place to sit on Easter? Well, I'm grateful that this morning we have room both for those who are in the habit of being in church pretty much every Sunday as well as for those who are likely to be here for special occasions, because this, folks, is a most special occasion, a very special occasion. Though Christmas, the celebration of Jesus coming to earth and being born in Bethlehem, is a marvelous time, it really pales in comparison to the event we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So, why is Easter such an important celebration? I have a two-part answer to that question. Easter should be celebrated first because the resurrection of Jesus really happened, and second because the resurrection of Jesus impacts almost everything in our lives. It really happened, and it impacts almost everything. That's a simple answer, but if you don't mind, I'll spend the next 20 minutes or so explaining why I'm confident this is the case. And if let's just pause and pray that the Lord would enable us to hear and understand and apply that truth this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, which leads us into the truth, and this morning, which helps us understand why this is such a special day. I just pray for each of my friends here that you'll help everyone listen and pay attention so that your word would fill both their mind and their hearts. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're here celebrating Easter today because the resurrection of Jesus really happened. He actually conquered death. After being killed on Friday afternoon, he was very much alive on Sunday morning. Now, I hope it doesn't come as a surprise to you that I and the folks who are part of this church believe that. Unfortunately, there are pastors all across this country and maybe even some preaching in churches in our area who would say that ain't necessarily so. They claim Jesus' body never actually came back to life and that the remains of his bones are still in that tomb. And yet they say that the spirit of Jesus still lives on and inspires his followers. They insist that is what Easter is really about. I would respond, no way. No way. For the past 2,000 years, Christians of all flavors and denominations have been united in their belief in Jesus' physical resurrection. That's reflected in the Apostles' Creed, which says, Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Now, this is America, and everyone has the right to believe as he or she chooses. And if you want to say that Jesus was a great guy, but insist his body simply rotted in that grave, that's your privilege. But I don't think you should label yourself a Christian, because that's just confusing. In many ways, a Christian can be defined as someone who believes Jesus truly rose from the dead and by God's grace lives in light of the implications of that event. That has been the heart of Christianity right from the beginning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance, that which matters most, what I also received, that is what he was taught as most important by the other apostles, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me." That's the Apostle Paul. It is pretty clear that the Bible teaches the resurrection of Jesus really happened. I would also add that a spiritual resurrection, which some claim occurred, would really be pretty insignificant. I've been at many funerals where I hear, "Well, Joe is gone now, but we know his spirit will always be with us." If that's what the Bible is saying when it tells us Jesus was raised from the dead, it's not saying very much at all. Jesus would then be really no different than Joe or any other human being. A spiritual resurrection of Jesus is not anything worth celebrating. I'm here this morning because I'm convinced that on that Sunday outside Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago, the tomb of Jesus Christ was empty because he had really, truly, literally, physically risen from the dead. Now, there may be some folks here today thinking, "Oh my goodness, how can any intelligent person believe something like that in this scientific age? When someone dies, they stay dead, period." Well, I would agree that that is indeed true in every case of which I am aware, but one, Jesus Christ. Yes, on that day we call Good Friday, Jesus was really dead. Or to borrow from the Munchkin coroner, he was not only really dead, but really most sincerely dead. But he didn't stay dead. On Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday, he was very much alive. And even those uneducated Jewish disciples living in that pre-scientific era understood that this was an absolutely remarkable, totally unique event. They were willing to risk everything, give up everything, to follow this Jesus because they believed he alone had conquered death. And folks, that's the same conclusion that I, as well as millions and millions of Christians over the past 2,000 years, have reached. Can I prove the resurrection of Jesus really happened? Well, it depends what you mean by prove. There is no scientific or empirical proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Of course, it cannot be scientifically or empirically proven that any historical event occurred, or that any person in the past actually existed. This type of proof requires observation and repeatable experiments. So by that definition of proof, I can't prove that my grandfather actually existed. I can, however, point to plenty of evidence which indicate he did exist. And I believe the preponderance of the evidence, weighing and analyzing all the different reports and possibilities, establishes the existence of my grandfather as an historical fact. And likewise, I would argue that the preponderance of the evidence establishes the literal resurrection of Jesus as an historical fact. It's interesting. Over the years, what has happened often is this. Scientists who are experts on whether or not dead people can come back to life, tend to conclude no. Something like Jesus' resurrection could never happen. Impossible. Lawyers, however, people trained on weighing and analyzing evidence, conclude that even though it may seem impossible, Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. Frank Morrison, Simon Greenleaf, John Warwick Montgomery, Sir Norman Anderson, they're just some of the top legal scholars during the past century who all wrote books arguing that Jesus' resurrection really did occur. So what is this evidence which establishes this as an historical fact? Well, I'm not going to take time to go into great detail, but here's a quick summary. And if you or people you know have questions about this, please make sure you give me a call. Number one, three things. First, it is very clear Jesus was really most sincerely dead when his body was placed in the tomb. There are some who claim he faked his own death and merely fainted on the cross and regained consciousness in the tomb. Yet even if that had occurred, it's difficult to imagine how he could have removed the grave clothes, rolled away that huge stone, and overpowered the Roman guards. The swoon theory, as this is sometimes called, is simply not a credible explanation of what happened that first Easter weekend. Number two, it is obvious that neither the Jewish leaders nor the Romans removed Jesus' body from the grave. If they had or had any knowledge where his body was, they would have certainly produced it to crush the reports that Jesus had come back to life. Their explanation, Matthew 28:13, was that Jesus' disciples had stolen the body. And yet, number three, it's very clear that Jesus' disciples were truly convinced Jesus had actually risen from the dead. This is the message which they all proclaimed and for which they were all willing to suffer and die. If the disciples had been involved in a conspiracy to perpetuate a fraud, one of them would have certainly fessed up in order to save his own neck. That didn't happen. Over the next 40 years, all except John died as martyrs, proclaiming their belief that Jesus is the risen Lord with their last breath. John did not die until about 60 years after that first Easter as an exile on the island of Patmos. And to the end of his life, he too insisted that Jesus' resurrection had really happened. What convinced the disciples of Jesus' resurrection was not just an empty tomb, which they could not explain because they had not taken the body, but also the fact that they had all seen and talked with him more than once during the 40-day period following Easter Sunday. And those 12 were not the only ones. As we read earlier, there were over 500 people who could say, no, it wasn't just your imagination. We saw and heard Jesus too. He really was alive after Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus really did happen. And friends, that's one reason why we celebrate today. Yet it's not just the fact of Jesus' resurrection we celebrate, but also its meaning. Many folks today are willing to accept that Jesus really did rise from the dead, but they can't see much significance in the event. They think, you know, how could something which happened 2,000 years ago have anything to do with my life today? What good does it do to believe that Jesus rose from the dead when I just got laid off from my job? Or when my spouse has cheated on me? Or when I have to have radiation treatments? Or when my car needs a new transmission? Or when my son is getting nothing but F's on his report card? Folks, I would maintain that believing in Jesus' resurrection does much good in these and in many more of life's situations. And in fact, the second reason we celebrate Easter this morning is because the resurrection of Jesus impacts almost everything in our lives. Let's explore some of the ways it does that. First of all, Jesus' resurrection enables us to be confident he is who he claimed to be. He is indeed the eternal Son of God. In Romans 1:4, the Apostle Paul says, "And Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit." You see, when Jesus was on earth, he made some remarkable claims. He said he had existed long before his birth in Bethlehem. John 8:58, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham. Abraham had lived 2,000 years earlier. He claimed to have a unique relationship with God the Father. John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." Or John 14:9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And he insisted that salvation is found in him alone. John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What reason do we have to believe that these extraordinary claims are true? Well, I could give you a list. But at the top of that list, in big, bold letters, is this: Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That's why I believe those remarkable claims he made about himself. Well, friends, there are a lot of different religions and philosophies out there. And many folks find that confusing, and they wonder, you know, how does one pick the right one? How do you pick the best one? The resurrection of Jesus makes that easy. The resurrection of Jesus makes him stand head and shoulders above any other religious leaders or philosophers. Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Joseph Smith, Karl Marx, L. Ron Hubbard, and Elvis Presley are all dead. And when they died, they stayed dead. Rabbi Menachem Schneerson was the leader of a group of Hasidic Jews in New York City. He died in 1994. Many of his followers believed he would quickly come back to life and be revealed as the true Messiah. But that hasn't happened. Nor will it. Jesus alone is the conqueror of death. And folks, that is sufficient reason to believe that he is indeed who he claimed to be, the eternal Son of God. And from this flows a second very important implication. Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which establishes him as God the Son, gives us a reason to believe everything he says and do everything he commands. Pastor Tim Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City puts it this way in his best-selling book, A Reason for God. If Jesus rose from the dead, you have to accept all that he said. And if he didn't rise from the dead, why worry about anything he said? If Jesus rose from the dead, it changes everything. Let's go back to one of the situations we mentioned earlier. How is it changed by Jesus' resurrection? Well, let's say that Joe got laid off from his job. How does that change by the resurrection of Jesus? The Lord likely wants Joe to tighten his spending a bit and perhaps to look for another job. But most importantly, Jesus tells Joe, "Don't worry. Don't be anxious." In Matthew 6, I've told you that God takes care of the birds and the flowers, and he's certainly going to take care of you when you're unemployed. Or I'm going to take care of your friend Mary when she needs a new transmission for her car that she can't afford. I take care of birds and flowers. I can take care of you guys. And then he tells Joe and Mary and all of us, Matthew 6, 32 and 33, don't worry. Your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs and will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. My point, because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a reason to believe those words. We have a reason to believe those words and to seek first the kingdom of God, just as Jesus tells us to do. Folks, because Jesus rose from the dead, we should believe and do what he says. When he tells us to forgive those who have wronged us and not become bitter, we need to do that. When he tells us to be generous in giving money to those in need, even though we could use that money for something else, that's what we need to do. We need to be generous. When he tells us to make sure that we tell the truth and are honest in every situation, we need to do that. When Jesus says we're to strive to get rid of things like pride and selfishness and lust and greed from our lives, we need to strive to do that. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we should believe and do what he says. And if we do that, it's going to change everything in our life. Read at the beginning of the morning. Even if someone hits you on the right cheek, don't try to get back at them. Let them hit you again. It changes everything. Thirdly, Jesus' resurrection gives us hope in the face of death. Because Jesus rose from the dead, I'm confident he was telling the truth when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And thus the Bible assures, 1 Corinthians 15 and other places, because Jesus has conquered death, those who trust in him will conquer death as well. Folks, that's certainly good news for someone who's undergoing cancer treatments. It's also good news for every single one of us, because each of us has a body which is in the process of dying. And yet there's no reason to be afraid. Oh, the Lord certainly has the power to heal and rid our bodies of any disease we might have right now today. But even if he chooses not to do that, even if that heart disease or that cancer or that really bad case of the stomach flu ultimately kills us, it won't really kill us. Because whoever believes in Jesus will live even though he dies. Even if a disease kills you, it won't really kill you, because whoever lives and believes in Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus will live even though he dies. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And that's true, because the moment a Christian believer's heart stops beating and the brain waves go flat, that individual is really more alive than ever. That person's soul or spirit, who he or she really is, goes to be with the Lord in heaven. He or she then waits for that great day of resurrection where all believers in Jesus will receive brand new glorified bodies just like Jesus himself had after he rose from the dead that first Easter morning. As many of you know, there have been quite a few funerals in this congregation the past year. I've said goodbye to some very good friends in recent months, and it has not been fun. Hasn't been fun. A few weeks ago, I was talking to Chris Lowry, our music director, and I asked her how Bow the Knee, that wonderful musical drama that we had here the last, three nights this week. A couple weeks before, and I said, well, how is it going? And she said, you know, it's going fine, going real well. But I miss Tim and Phil. Tim and Phil are, again, two members of our choir who were singing last year who have died this fall and winter. And as tears came to my eyes, and I said, I know, Chris, but that's why we have Easter. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. And friends, that's probably at the top of my list this year as to why I think Easter is worth celebrating. Because the resurrection of Jesus means that all the goodbyes I have said to dear friends this past year, and all the goodbyes I'm going to say to friends and family members this next year and in the years ahead, are not going to be final goodbyes. Are not final goodbyes, but only temporary ones. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we can say, I will see you later. In fact, in the big picture, the believer in Christ says, I will see you soon, because we're not going to be here all that long either. That's the great hope we as Christians have in the face of death. And yet, folks, it's important to realize that this hope only belongs to those who are trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior. In fact, it's only those trusting in Jesus who truly experience the significance of Easter and really have a reason to celebrate. They're the only ones who have a reason to shout, He is risen. And so, friend, if you've been listening today, and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, before you're going to have a reason to celebrate, you need to turn to Him, to Jesus, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And I would urge you to do that even today. When I say that, I'm not talking about being religious or going to church or trying to be a good person. I'm talking about admitting that I'm not good enough the way I am, that I can't handle everything by myself, and instead I need to turn to Jesus Christ and by faith receive the salvation that He so graciously offers. Friend, if you haven't done that, or if you're not sure whether you've done that, or if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, I encourage you to give me a call, or Dave and Gwen are going to be up front here after the worship service. They'd be delighted to talk to you about that. But that's what gives us a reason to celebrate Easter, when we're trusting in Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus, it really happened. It really impacts almost everything in our lives today. This gives us a reason to celebrate Easter. It gives us a reason to shout, the Lord is risen indeed. And it gives us a reason to encourage others to do so as well. If you feel like shouting, if you feel like celebrating, join us as we sing this last hymn, this wonderful song, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.